The gist. Recent studies suggest that a hypermetabolic state that damages the mitochondria results in a hypometabolic state in chronic fatigue syndrome, MECFS, long COVID, LC, and fibromyalgia, FM. They also suggest that something in the blood, serum, or plasma is damaging the mitochondria in these diseases. We are not done with the mitochondria, though. Far from it. Now, we look at a bevy of recent long COVID mitochondrial studies suggesting that mitochondrial dysfunction affects more than energy production, and which illuminates what may have gone wrong in the mitochondria. Muscle biopsies of 120 long COVID patients who had ended up in the ICU found that a year later, their muscles had higher levels of immune cells involved in tissue repair and reduced activity of the second and fourth mitochondrial complexes. The authors concluded that there was aberrant repair and altered mitochondrial activity in skeletal muscle. They couldn't explain how a respiratory illness affected the muscles, but a subsequent study did. A hamster model found that the coronavirus suppressed the genes associated with the muscle fibers, protein production, both sides of the mitochondrial energy production process, Krebs cycle and electron transport chain, and fat breakdown. As it was doing that, it unleashed a barrage of inflammatory factors, IFNA, IFNY, and TNFA, which triggered a shift from relying mostly on aerobic energy production to the less effective process of anaerobic energy production, glycolysis. The authors concluded that using treatments, quote, that can boost mitochondrial functions, enhance protein synthesis, and inhibit protein degradation, end quote, may be useful for treating muscle fatigue in long COVID. Next, a muscle study assessing maximal fatty acid oxidation, or MFO, i.e. energy produced by the breakdown of fats during exercise, found significantly reduced levels of fatty acid oxidation in long COVID and a premature shift from relying on fats to carbohydrates to powering their cells. This was important because the body prefers to burn fats during exercise and because fats play key roles in both parts of the mitochondrial energy production process. The finding wasn't so surprising, though. Problems with carnitine, which transports fatty acids into the mitochondria, have popped up in both long COVID and MECFS, suggesting that the fatty acids that power the mitochondria during exercise may not be getting into them. A recent paper asserted that increased free radical production, reactive oxygen species, ROS, by the mitochondria both pushes the cell into a state of anaerobic energy production, but also pushes the immune system to activate the inflammatory or innate immune response and away from the adaptive immune response that targets pathogens. This benefits the viruses by providing the substrates they need to grow and allows them to escape from the immune system. Several researchers, including Avindra Nath, believe that the immune system tries to compensate for the impaired adaptive immune defense by ramping up the innate immune response. Nath believes this shift plays a central role in MECFS. They propose that treatments to boost mitochondrial functioning and reduce the production of mitochondrial reactive oxygen species, ROS, free radicals, will be beneficial. Lastly, a review asserted that the predominant view of the mitochondria as the main energy producers of the cell is misguided and incomplete. Harkening back to Navio's characterization of the mitochondria as the primary threat-sensing part of the cell, the authors believe the mitochondria regulate the physiological processes at the level of the cell, organ, and organism. I.e., the mitochondrial problems affect much more than low energy levels and fatigue. A blog on red light infrared light therapy, which could both boost mitochondrial health and antioxidant defenses, is coming up.